I'd like to call the December 4th, 2019 Planning and Zoning Board, Local Planning Agency meeting to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Chairperson Cockwin Ma.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Kevin McCann.
Present.
Board Member James Evans.
Here.
Board Member Michael Ferente. Board Member Bart Phillips.
Here.
All right.
Can we please stand to have a moment of silence and the pledge? Please face the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any changes for the agenda this evening?
Not that I know of.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, we'll go skip item 100 and 200, they're not used, so we'll go directly to public input. Anyone wishing to speak on any matter that is not related to any of this evening's agenda items may come up. We have two requests. First one is Skylar Ramsey. Mr. Ramsey, you have 3 minutes.
Appreciate it. To the board, City Commission, sorry, apologize.
State your name and address.
Oh, Skylar Ramsey, 1502 Cardinal Street, Longwood, Florida. Apologies. I'm currently in AP Gov in my local high school, Winter Springs High School, and with them as well. And just a very general question to all of you. What inspired you to get involved in your city government and make a change?
I'm not going to presume to speak for my colleagues, but I would think that the simple answer is a desire to be involved and make a difference in the community that you live in. And you know, whether it starts with a homeowners association or on a board in your city or town, or being more active in your community in other ways, could be a PTA or something like that. It's just finding whatever interests you and being involved so that you can help carve out whatever the fabric of the place where you live.
Actually, can I, Skylar, first, to commend you, we get students from Winter Springs High come to almost every single meeting. And I go to city commission meetings and different board meetings, mm-hmm. and you're the first young man to get up or young lady to get up and say anything. And really, I'd encourage you to keep doing questions and participating and just coming and listening. It's really great to come in here every time we have a meeting and see kids from Winter Springs High sitting there. Just, I know it's part of an assignment, but it really is wonderful to have you and to see that you're actually showing that first little seed of thought. And when you're asking questions like that, that's where it started with us too. I mean, just like some real curiosity of what's going on. This stuff actually is interesting, and you can contribute to your community and you can give back some, and you know, there's a lot of other ways of giving back, you know, volunteering at Florida Hospital or whatever, you know, different ways of giving back to the community. But I think with all of the different boards that meet in Winter Springs, they're all important and they all have a role to play. And it starts with little seeds of thought like what you guys are doing now. Thank you. You're very welcome. I'm really glad you're here and decided to say something.
Of course.
I'd actually like to echo Kevin. I mean, we go to all the commission meetings and truly, I genuinely think you are the first. But it all starts with what you're interested in, right? We all should do community service, and you should do something that interests you. And for me, putting my city in a position that betters it over a 30-year term is what interests me. And I chose this particular board because it fits with my skill set. I'm a realtor by trade, so land use makes sense for me. So it's just finding about what you're interested in and contributing to society in that way. I mean, I genuinely think everybody should give back in some manner. So that's my 2 cents on it.
Well, I truly believe in serving the community that we live in. I've been, my business has been here almost 30 years. I've been living in the community for almost 15 years. And I truly believe in giving back to the community, and I love this community, and I'd like to keep it this way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Skylar. Next, we have Nora LaRoe.
I'm Nora LaRoe. I live in Tuscaloosa. I've been a resident for 27 years. My husband has been a resident in the Tuscaloosa area for about 49 years. Although we haven't always agreed with the development in the area, it seems like recently it's been kind of aggressive. I would like to talk about the tract here, the Seminole, the Tuscaloosa Plaza, the studios at Tuscaloosa, and I would like for you to consider granting them the modifications that they would they're asking for. One of the things that we love about this community is that it feels small town, and a number of people have said to me that they really enjoy being able to bike or walk to different activities, and I think that this is the kind of thing that we need. In our community for our families to be able to go to. I happen to know the family who is interested in doing it personally. They're a solid family. They're creative. They would like to see our community flourish, as I would, as I'm sure all of you would. And so I just wanted you to consider that this is the kind of development I think that most of the people could get behind, because this is a small business with people who are local, who want to see it work in our community, and it would be good for young families. We all know that especially Tuscaloosa is aging, and if we want to bring in young families, these are the kinds of activities that we want to see them enjoy, just like the trail and our beautiful schools and, you know, the close-knit community and the pride that we have in our community. So, thank you.
Great. Actually, can we ask your address? You're where in Tuscaloosa?
Yes, I'm in the old section. I'm off of Dyson on Ocelot Trail.
Yeah. No, well, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Do we have any other public input? Seeing and hearing none, we will close public input for this section of the meeting and move on to the consent agenda, item number 300. Office of City Clerk requests that the Planning and Zoning Board approve the meeting minutes from Tuesday, November 12th, 2019. Can I get a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Thank you.
Sorry. Thanks.
Right. So, Chairperson Ma?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson McCann? I'm
going to abstain because I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay. Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Board Member Evans?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. Item number 400, we're moving into the public hearings agenda, the studios at Tuscaloosa. Do we have a presentation for this evening?
Yes, hello, hi. Good evening, this is, my name is Marla Molina. I'm the city planner here at Winter Springs. And for tonight's public hearing, you are here to consider a modification or modifications to the existing developer's agreement for the subject property. The property is located at 387 Vista Willa Drive in Winter Springs, Florida. The property is zoned Tuscaloosa, planned unit development, and the future land use is commercial. On December 14th, 1998, the city and the owner's predecessor entered into a developer's agreement. And within this developer's agreement, on section 3.5 of this agreement, it only allows for office uses. And the applicant, Tuscaloosa Plaza LLC, is here today because they're negotiating with buying the parcel that you see on the screen, and they want to extend the uses so that it's not just office uses. They're looking at including music, dance, art studio, and retail up to 11,800 square feet. In addition to that, we are requesting that they have some conditions added to this agreement, which include a side setback from the lot line and abutting residential area with a minimum of 25 feet. And also the setback must include enhanced landscape that's maintained by the property owner, which would be at least two additional canopy trees. And a lot of these issues would also, if it needed to be added on, it would be discovered in the final engineering plans too. So we're adding a condition that there will be no drive-through restaurants or drive-throughs, no outdoor music, outdoor performances, outdoor audio devices, outdoor speakers on the subject property so that it doesn't affect adjacent property owners. And in addition, we're looking at adding in the developer's agreement to restricting the office hours, that no customers would be on the property in the hours of 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. unless there's other workers, but no actual business going on during these hours. And as far as this property, we looked at the transportation side of it, and the property is accessed on Tuscaloosa or Vistawilla Drive, as seen in the vicinity map. And the applicant has hired a transportation engineer, and they prepared a traffic study for this property. And we also have a traffic engineer here, if you'd like to speak with her, she is present. And it is the professional opinion of the applicant's traffic engineer that the actual trip generation will not likely be any higher than what the previous proposed development would be with just regular office space, that this new proposal would generate 69 additional daily trips. Previously it was 199 total trips, and now it's proposed to be 268 daily trips. And we feel that this project is consistent and comparable with the original build out development assumptions of office, like I explained. And also in front of you, we placed two letters. One is a letter of no objection from the HOA adjacent Howell Creek Reserve, and a letter from the current property owner stating that if the two properties they're working together to develop a parking agreement, if there's any type of overflow parking necessary, but that would be something we'd look at the final engineering. So at this time, staff would recommend that the Planning and Zoning Board would forward a recommendation of approval to the City Commission for the proposed modifications to the developer's agreement. And also staff is here, our traffic engineer is here, and the applicant is here if you have any additional questions or concerns regarding the modifications.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Open up to discussion. If I may, first off, question, Marla.
Yes.
Just so we're clear, what we are voting on this evening is just a modification to the development agreement. Does this also give them concurrency entitlements for the site?
No, just the section 3.5 and with the additional conditions that
okay.
I spoke about.
So do they already have entitlements then? Would they be able to move forward without doing any additional traffic analysis?
They could, yes. They're fine with the traffic at this point, yes. It would be.
Okay. Access to the site, does it have direct access to Vistawilla, or would it access off of the existing stub from the Seminole Trail Animal Hospital parking lot?
It's off of the Seminole. It's the one access point right there off of the animal hospital.
Okay. So
they would just.
So this parcel itself will not have access directly onto Vistawilla?
There'll be a shared access coming
okay.
in to the site.
Gotcha.
It'll be one access point.
Understood. I think this is a good project. I think that the context of the land uses fits in well with the community and with the surrounding other uses. However, I do have some objection to the traffic analysis that was done. And for the benefit of the other board members, I would like to at least outline some of those. The analysis for the existing PUD designation shows a 11,800 square foot small office generating 199 daily trips, which I'm and 29 peak hour, 23 a.m. peak hour, 29 p.m. peak hour, which I'm in agreement with. Moving down to the current proposed PUD uses, the student studios, the dance studio, was taken from, according to the footnote, the Lake County impact fee report, which does show a daily amount. The 136, I'm in agreement with. The 45 from the peak hour, I'm not sure where that came from. My biggest concern, though, is with the coffee and donut shop. Based on what is shown here, the 13 a.m. peak hour and 46 p.m. peak hour would represent 71% of what is shown for daily, which, I mean, if I was a coffee shop owner, if I got 71% of my traffic within 2 hours, those are the only 2 hours I would be open. The 83 daily trips that's shown in the analysis does not match what is included in the ITE trip generation manual. There is not a daily rate for a 1,000 square foot coffee shop. There is a daily rate for one that has a drive-through, which would be 818.58 trips per 1,000 square feet. If we take a look at the ratio between the PM rates for with and without drive-through and apply that for the daily, then this particular site might, for the coffee shop, might generate close to 700 trips per day, not 83. And if we take a look at that and add the total, we have a much larger discrepancy in the difference in the number of trips generated by this site. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay. We have our traffic engineer here who would.
Good evening, for the record, Christopher Schmidt, the development director. I just wanted to take a moment to introduce our representative from CPH for transportation, and she can go into it. Okay. I'm not on.
Oh. This one? Here. I can. Yeah. Here we go. I'll pass the mic.
Good morning, or evening. It's been a long day. My name is Sandra Gorman. I'm with CPH. My office is out of the Tampa office, 5601 Mariner Street, but our corporate headquarters is in Sanford. I reviewed the trip generation, and to speak specifically to some of the concerns you brought up about the coffee shop, the land use code that they used in the analysis is coffee shop without a drive-through, and
correct.
It's a very, very small sample. And unfortunately, the alternative would be to use a coffee shop with a drive-through, and that's going to show a significantly higher AM peak impact, which makes sense because people are going to get their coffee on their way to work, and they're going to go through a drive-through. They're not necessarily going to park and walk in. So you would expect that change. But because the limitation of no drive-through that's being put on the property, you know, the traffic engineer who did the analysis really was very limited in their options. I personally think that the PM peak trip generation, because it's a limited sample size, is very high for a PM peak hour for a coffee shop without a drive-through. You would expect it to be flipped and have a higher impact in the morning. Did that sort of address what the issues were with the land use chosen?
Okay. Without the drive-through, average rate is 36.31 based on 12 studies. With the drive-through,
right now I have that here.
With the drive-through, it's 42.8 based off of 24 studies. The range for the rates are pretty similar between the two. So yes, without the drive-through, it is less by about 15-20%. And since the land use code for without the drive-through did not have daily,
it does have daily, just only has one study for daily, so we wouldn't be able to really use that because we look for something for a minimum of 5 studies. We look for a data range that is statistically significant as well. And that's where you get the change between with a drive-through and without a drive-through.
Okay. But with the drive-through, was it statistically?
Do you want to know the rates for with the drive-through?
No, I have the rates with the drive-through. So with the drive-through is 42.8 for the PM peak hour. Without the drive-through, it's 36.31. Are those the numbers you have?
I'm pulling them up right now. I have the nice little app. Yes, they have an app. So for 4 to 6, I have 43.38 for the PM peak for with the drive-through,
mm-hmm.
And then I have, that's 7 to 9, sorry. Let me go back. And then without the drive-through.
36?
I have to go through several menus here because it always takes you automatically to the most used. I have 36.1. The other thing to remember is that is your gross trip rate. That is going to be your driveway trip rate. For a coffee shop, your pass-by rate, which that's the traffic that's already on the road, mm-hmm. that's just going to stop there on their way to wherever they're going. So either they're going to stop there in the morning on their way to work, or they're going to stop, you know, in the evening on their way to somewhere else, on their way, you know, to a movie or their way home from work. And the typical pass-by rate for a coffee shop is well over 50%. So these rates don't reflect that reduction. So we'd really only be talking about half of that rate as being new traffic to the area that is coming specifically to come to the coffee shop.
Okay. Based on the trip generation table at the bottom that was provided for the analysis,
I have several versions of it, so I'm not sure which one
it does say that the trips do reflect new trips after reduction for pass-by.
I didn't have their actual calculation, so I couldn't confirm that. But if you look at, let me make sure I'm in the right one. If you look at the average rate is 36.31 for without a drive-through for a 1,000 square foot coffee shop. That rate doesn't necessarily reflect pass-by unless they used a different land use. But I don't know if they have their applicant's traffic engineer.
I have it right up. I'm going to pull it right up.
Okay. Yeah, that's the table that I have. So they're reflecting a 1,000 square foot coffee shop using land use code 936, which for the PM peak hour, that rate, let me make sure I've got my right rate up. Yep, okay. That rate is 36.31, which means we would expect that number to be roughly 36 trips. So either they use the peak hour of the generator, which doesn't necessarily mean between 4 and 6, mm-hmm. it might just mean the afternoon, at the peak anytime after 12 p.m. But that would be the driveway trips. They did not take that reduction.
Okay.
It does not appear that they did.
Thank you.
Any other questions while I'm up here?
Not for me.
Not for CPH.
Okay. Can I put this here?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you can leave it there.
Sorry.
So, Chris, maybe I have a question for you, if it's appropriate. The real question really comes down to we know that we are familiar with the business as it exists now on Winter Springs Boulevard. We know that the proprietors are clearly members of the community. They give back in a lot of different ways. They're active in the community, all those wonderful things. I think it's easy to say, and even looking at these numbers, that the traffic generated is, it's an after-school type of thing. Evenings, dance studios, and things for kids. They're very fortunate, successful business. Things are going really well, which may be enhancing the drive for this move.
Correct.
I guess the one question that I have is that with the city currently has no restrictions to on-street parking, as I understand it. With the community, with the bend in the road, with all the homes right along that street, my concern is street parking. It's clear that the owners have done a great deal of work, and they've already talked to the animal hospital, said that they would share parking. They may really complement each other. 9 to 5, when the animal hospital's busy, they can use the other parking lot, and at night, when the animal hospital is closed, they can share the parking next door. But is there anything that we can do to protect those residents that are right there, those homes whose back doors line that street, right on that street?
Correct.
Is there anything that we can do to prevent on-street parking?
Well, in regards to the parking situation, we haven't done the final engineering yet, so they would have to obviously complete that before they move forward on the final engineering, and we can address it at that time. The developer's agreement, we could probably put some language. We can talk to legal about that moving forward, but typically we would handle it at final engineering, because at that point you would know what parking is being supplied on site, and if there's any qualms or questions with that, we could look to add certain things. I could sit down with Public Works and talk over some items.
I think in living in the neighborhood, and let me be clear, I should probably, for to be as clear as possible, I am also the president of the Tuscaloosa Homeowners Association, and I have spoken to the city attorney, as you know, making sure that there isn't a conflict and things like that, and we came to the agreement that there's not, as long as I stay objective and make these decisions. But I think it's important that we say that, okay? There has been, we know that they are very, very busy at the location on Winter Springs Boulevard, and that parking, trying to share that with Dominic's, is very, very difficult. Again, they're fortunate to have great business, so maybe that's what's helping to promote this move. Again, that is just a really big sticking point, is any on-street parking in that area.
Okay, we'll make a note of that.
Okay. I do have one other question for you. Sorry about that. Hey, just one other question, and maybe it's my
apologies. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I noticed that, and you know what? Never mind. I think I just answered my own question. I was looking through some, and it's what I saw was improvements to curb cuts and speed reduction lanes were going to be covered by the city in one of the old developer agreements. Mm-hmm. But frankly, I think that the question was already answered, and that they're sharing the same easement, so there won't be a need for like
another cut
or no. For a reduction, a speed reduction
correct.
Lane
they'll
or
be accessing
like
through the vet site correct.
Okay, and the access won't change.
No,
it's not going to get wider.
That was part of the agreement from the original developers agreement. Okay. That's being carried forward, that they have to access through the vet's parking lot.
Great, thanks.
Okay.
Any other discussion? In that case, I would like to open it up to public input. All right, seeing and hearing none, we will close public input. And let's see, I guess need a motion.
Actually, can I just ask one quick question? I don't know if this is for Chris or for Sean, but I know the previous development they did, the things that they're asking for to be uses in there are pretty consistent. Is there anything in the Tuscaloosa PUD rule specific to building that they're asking for outside of that? Because it looked like they had restricted their uses downward.
Correct. The Tuscola PUD is very open-ended. It's an older PUD, for example, the other businesses are there. So what we tried to do from the planning perspective is try to complement the office and neighborhood type uses, and that's where we ended up restricting them down to the current uses that they have before you.
Gotcha. And I see the one concern that the Howell Creek Reserve had was essentially noise generating activities. And to be at least cognizant of that, would it be out of line for a recommendation to the commission that things like the dance studio, which could have that reverberating bass, that they have, do we have anything in the code that requires them to try to dampen that via their insulation and things like that? Or is that something we would have to make as a recommendation?
That pertains more to the Florida Building Code, but if there's something along the line, if there's some language you had that we could add on that the applicant would be agreeable to, we could probably add that in developer's agreement.
Okay. I mean, I don't recall Integrity ever having issues, but to at least bring up the fact that they didn't want something that would be loud.
Well, I believe the applicants can speak to the actual studio and the actual technology that you use now for the sound booth and the music studio. And in other words, they have, I don't want to speak for Lewis, but if you could come up real quickly and explain it.
Hi, Lewis Chavez, 1051 Deer Run Drive, Winter Springs, Florida, 32708. I'm not a sound engineer by any means. I'm not a developer. We own a business here, and I have actually grown up in the community. So we are working with sound engineers because our current space, there is some bleed through the rooms inside of our space that we're leasing. And so with that being said, we want to make sure that we don't bleed into the neighboring units in the development. So there definitely wouldn't be, you know, something outside of the building that would be causing the neighbors harm in that way, and we do have that already agreed upon on the DA that we wouldn't have outdoor speakers.
Right, and so I mean, honestly, it doesn't look like there's too much that might affect Howell Creek or was that Eagles Landing right there?
Mm-hmm.
So do we have, and I know we're not even close to that, this is purely the developer agreement at this point, do we have any idea what the square footage of the potential development?
Yes, 11,800 square feet.
Okay. And that's still consistent with the 25-foot setback on the line?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Okay. That's all I have for me.
Great. Thank you.
So have you – I have a question for you, yes. Lewis. No, we know that you've spoken with Howell Creek, which is the pool, and, mm-hmm. and right? But how about the folks on Redtail? Any input from them at all?
They're the ones same group that managed.
It is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we went and I proposed in front of the association, it was the same association.
Okay, great.
Same board of directors.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
And just to let you all know, in regards to the noises, we do have the noise ordinance and decibel rating, so we do have that in play. So if that does become a problem, there could be, you know, code enforcement action if it became a problem. Not saying it's going to be, but I'm just saying there's noise ordinance.
I'll tell you, personally, I go to Dominic's a lot, or maybe more often than I should. I've never heard a peep coming out of there, out of the dance studio. You don't hear it standing in the parking lot, standing right in front of the business. You don't hear it. That's anecdotal. I know it has no real bearing, but current experiences, mm-hmm. you don't hear it, even standing in the parking lot. I know that we're going to be looking for a motion. And forgive me once again. There's the current vote, and then there'll be a vote taking place later. I want to be sure that everybody understands that they're separate when they come back again, and that I would strongly encourage you to deal with the on-street parking. Okay, that what we're talking about today is just simply the allowable starting that process of moving forward, and that we're going to have an opportunity to address other issues, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Then with that, sir, would it be out of place for a motion?
No.
At this point, I would like to approve the amendment to the developer agreement to include Section 3.5, as well as including but not limiting a recommendation to the commission for the restrictions of the side setbacks, no drive-throughs, no outdoor venue music or performances, as well as the limit on hours of operation.
I'll second. Can we call for a vote?
Yes, sir. Vice Chairperson McCann?
Aye.
Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Board Member Evans?
Aye.
Chairperson Ma?
Aye. All right. Motion passes. We move to the regular agenda. Item 500 is not used. So we'll move on to reports. Anybody?
I have two reports. Okay. Actually, I have three. I apologize for backtracking, but we do need an official vote from Board Member McCann on his meetings in the sense of if we need a yay or nay. We do need an official one.
On my meeting?
On your vote for the meeting.
Meeting minutes.
I read through them. They appear. I guess I say aye. Although, again, I wasn't here to confirm that these minutes are accurate, but if the law requires that I vote, I trust the city staff. Aye.
I appreciate it. Thank you. We also need a possible date for January. We would need to be holding a special meeting. So we were looking at January 7th or 8th.
Again, for the record, Christopher Schmidt, Community Development Director. Apologies. The January Planning and Zoning meeting ends on January 1st, so obviously we won't be here that day. We're all off that day, so celebrating the new year. So we need a January Planning and Zoning Board date because we have some items that we'll be bringing before you all. So we're hopefully that you all will be available perhaps the second week in January, the 7th or 8th.
I can say immediately I'm not available on the 7th.
I am available on the 8th.
I'm available.
I am available on the 8th. I will be at Oviedo's P&Z on the 7th.
So we're all available on the 8th, but not on the 7th.
Okay, right. Then.
Tuesdays are bad.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then we'll look to not be doing special meetings. We'll be looking to have a more solid calendar. Again, I appreciate your patience. Thank you.
I would like to ask if we could have an official vote just so to make sure everything's good. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Board Member Evans?
And just to clarify, this is for the 8th. Then aye.
January 8th. Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Chairperson Ma?
Aye.
And Vice Chairperson McCann?
Aye.
Thank you so much.
All right. Moving down for reports.
I just want to bring one item up. So do we need to make a special note? Ms. LaRue spoke on essentially input 400, but we had her in the first public input, so I just kind of want to clarify that for the minutes that we heard you, but it was technically in the wrong spot. I don't know if that was an issue. I just want to bring it to the attention.
Yep. So. Everything's good.
Thank you. That's all I had.
Mr. Phillips?
I'm fine.
Okay. I have no report.
I would like to say something and have it be part of the record, if I may. I have concerns about our scheduling and our calendar of meetings. And I'm not looking really for a response. I just want to simply go on the record as saying that the amount of movement of these meetings has become increasingly problematic for our participation as members on the board. And maybe I shouldn't speak for the others. I'm just saying for myself. I must just implore. I've had private conversations with a lot of different people about it over the last several months, mm-hmm. and it just continues to become an issue. I must ask. I work as a contractor in consulting, and I schedule the time off. I take a cut in pay. I want to be involved, but I must make it as clear as possible. The constant moving is becoming not only a financial hardship, but I missed the last meeting that I felt was one of the single most important meetings that we've ever had. I was not able to participate because of the movements and things. I just simply want to go on record as saying, please, as best we can, keep the meetings on schedule as best we can. And for the record, for the next several months at least, I will not be able to participate on Tuesdays. So unfortunately, I heard some rumor, some silliness that I wasn't here because I didn't want to be, and all kinds of silly kind of nonsense stuff. And I just want to be sure that I put it on record as, please, as best we can.
Understood, and we will ensure that you will have a solid schedule. We understand your professionals, and you should be treated as such. Thank you.
Thanks.
And finally, we'll open it up for the final public input. Anyone that wishes to speak on any matter at all can approach the podium to have their say. Okay. Seeing and hearing none, we will close public input. And I think we're adjourned. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks.